This podcast is brought to you by VMware, the leader in virtualization.
Welcome to this edition of the VDI podcast series. This is your host, Raj Mompati, Group Product Marketing Manager for Enterprise Desktop at VMware. Today, our guest is Steve Kaplan, Vice President of Data Center Virtualization Practice at INX. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Raj.
Steve, for those who don't already know you, give us some background on who you are, what your company does, and how did you get started with VMware VDI?
Sure. Let me go way back in time. I used to run a company that was named the Citrix Partner of the United States when we sold it in 2001. So we started back with using Citrix for the concept of virtualized desktops back in the mid-90s. Of course, we didn't call it virtual desktops back then. We called it thin client and later server-based computing and so on. But really, the concept we espoused was always the same, and that was the concept of running a PC as a virtual environment. After selling that company, I did ROI consulting for organizations really across the globe looking to move to enterprise terminal server / Citrix environments. And when VMware started gathering up steam, went back into the integration business, focused around VMware and virtualizing the data centers, and we were, the company I co-founded was acquired by INX in June of 2008, and so now we focus on data center virtualization in general using VMware and Cisco products. And we, as VMware has made a bigger and bigger presence in data center virtualization, of course, the whole VDI movement is now picking up steam, and we're heavily engaged in that.
So you've been in sort of the server-based computing and the virtualization game for a while, and you also seem to be in the ROI sort of ROI analysis, engagements for a long time. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Even when we were selling VMware for the data center virtualization, even back to the Citrix days, we've always used the ROI analysis as the way we engaged clients to understand the big picture of virtualizing.
And for folks who don't know the difference between ROI and sort of upfront CapEx analysis, can you kind of explain to them what ROI is and how is it different from upfront capital, upfront cost analysis or upfront analysis?
Well, I think what you mean by upfront analysis is kind of more from a TCO, total cost of ownership model that Gartner popularized. And the real difference between that and ROI is that the TCO kind of compares on a more generic level two different options within a methodology, within a category. For instance, comparing the cost of running a thin client terminal versus the cost of running a PC over a period of time. ROI, return on investment, is a methodology specifically geared toward helping organizations make an investment decision. So we use the ROI concept to help organizations understand, should we move to a virtual desktop environment or should we stay physical? So incorporating much more than just the comparison between two different attributes, we're looking at everything from the cost of the devices to the mm-hmm. cost of labor to support those devices, cost of servers, cost of power, staffing time to do things like upgrade applications, just all of the myriad of different attributes that go into quantifying that investment decision.
Okay. So I think what I was trying to also ask is, typically when we talk to customers or when we sort of talk to analysts, the two criteria that they keep comparing all the time is, obviously ROI, return on investment, versus the savings upfront, right? So this is basically a lot of the customers I talk to, one of the key things that they look at is, well, how much are you saving me right up front, right, by going down the VDI path or by going down some server consolidation path? So I was hoping you could explain the difference between ROI and, some key metrics that customers also look at.
All right, great. I understand now. So, well, upfront savings is pretty self-explanatory. In fact, we recently had an engagement of 2,800 VDI desktops. in that case, it was a very simple upfront analysis. It was less expensive to go to a VMware environment right away than it would have been to purchase 2,800 new PCs and set them up. So it was a very easy investment decision. We didn't have to delve into the ROI realm at all. ROI is used when you have to look over a period of time to justify the investment. So, for instance, another client we're working with is not at the point where they're at a PC refresh cycle. So they have over 1,000 desktops, and we're working with them to look at what kind of savings they'll get by moving to a virtual desktop infrastructure over a period of years, as PCs normally would become refreshed, as operating expenses continue to mount up. And so that lets the company get a perspective to see how best to spend their money, whether on PCs or whether on implementing a VDI architecture.
Ah, great. So now, I know you're doing a lot of great work out there with regards to VDI in the field, and that you're engaged in quite a few large-scale implementations. So what are you seeing in terms of, within the landscape of customer interest, what are you seeing in terms of desktop virtualization or VDI itself? I mean, can you sort of comment on some of the trends that you've seen in the past 2-3 years, and where do you see this going in the future?
Well, after evangelizing the concept of a virtual desktop, as I mentioned, years before VMware actually made it possible with a virtual machine, we're very gratified to see an extremely strong interest in organizations to moving to the virtual desktop infrastructure. And I believe the reason why is not only because of the technology, but because VMware made it popular, made it commonplace to virtualize servers in the data center. And once people now understand that concept, it's not a bigger reach anymore to grasp the concept of a virtual desktop. And so we are seeing, in the majority of our customers, an interest now in exploring the VDI environment or moving ahead with a concept or an actual deployment.
So what you're saying is that, you know, typically what you say in terms of a customer adoption cycle for virtualization, what you're really seeing is, you know, typically most customers start with virtualizing the server and then they extend it or expand it to desktops. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Of course, the organizations we're working with are ones that we've typically approached or have called us about coming into discuss virtualizing their data center, so they already are certainly aware of VMware and all the vast economic and other benefits you get in the data center. So they're open to the concept now of looking at virtualizing the desktop.
So I think that's a good point. So what are some of the key pain points or some key concerns that customers want to solve, and, you know, when it comes to their desktop, you know, desktop infrastructure, and as a result, are trying to solve it with VDI or desktop virtualization?
Well, it's the pain points that a company running a PC-based distributed architecture environment in general. There's the cost of the PCs themselves, not only the purchasing, but the purchasing and tax and administrative requirements and distribution and setting them up, and then having to do things like the PC shuffle, where when a new PC comes in, it goes to the most senior staff member, and then her PC gets shuffled onto the next in line, this PC gets shuffled onto the next in line. That takes a lot of staff time in setting all that up and making it all happen. Of course, there's the maintenance costs of the PCs and the managing of everything. Sometimes a PC support crews are required to go out and take care of different issues. There's security concerns that abound with PCs and a distributed PC architecture. So all these types of pain points make most organizations very receptive to the concept of running virtual machines instead.
So walk us through sort of a typical methodology you use when you're doing a VDI ROI analysis. I mean, so I think you've talked about some of the key sort of key components of ROI analysis when you were talking about the key pain points and what people are trying to solve. But walk us through some of the methodology that you use when you're doing a VDI ROI analysis.
A lot of it is an information gathering process where we find out information about of course, the number of PC users and laptop users, which in itself can be a challenge for many organizations, and that's why it's great to use the VMware Capacity Planner tool to actually go out and discover the number of PCs and laptops. And we look for things like, you know, of course, the cost of the units and what the refresh cycle is and how much it actually takes to purchase a unit in terms of administrative time and staff setup time and third-party maintenance and how long the refresh cycle is. We look at cost of IT staff and different aspects of IT staff, the help desk people, the network people, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at how frequently they do things like application upgrades and OS upgrades, what kind of help desk support requests typically accompany their PC environment. And then that helps us prepare what we call a hard cost ROI analysis. But then we also extend it beyond that and look at soft cost type elements like how much downtime PC users tend to be subjected to while during the PC shuffle or while their PC is being maintained or when a power supply blew out and corrupted their operating system and it takes them 2 days to get a new PC. All those types of elements go into what we call soft cost. And even though soft costs are very seldom necessary to justify a VDI deployment, we think they're important to identify in order to give both IT staff and management a perspective just on how much a distributed PC architecture is costing the organization.
So what you're saying is in pretty much all the engagements that you've seen, when you're doing the ROI analysis, the hard costs justify why a customer should go down the path of VDI.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. There are some cases or some specific areas within organizations that's not going to be true for, but certainly the majority of users and the majority of organizations, absolutely, moving to VDI is going to be a significant economic benefit.
So in terms of just the management cost of a PC or PC infrastructure, can you sort of shed some light in terms of, you know, what are some of the, what kind of data are you seeing or what kind of costs are you seeing associated with managing a PC infrastructure?
Well, in the management aspects of it, what we see, the biggest savings comes from areas such as deploying a new operating system to PCs or even deploying an application upgrade to hundreds or thousands of PCs. And while there's certainly software programs to push down these types of applications to desktops and make management of them easier, the reality is that many, if not most, organizations don't have the resources to purchase and set up and manage these PC management type environments. So it still becomes difficult. And certainly the majority of organizations that we speak with don't have those types of working managed PC environments in place. So that's where I would say the savings come from.
Okay.
On the management side.
Yep. And if you have to pick the top two or three sort of areas where you find the greatest savings, what would those two or three areas be?
Well, the reality is, because staffing time is so expensive, that staffing time is probably the largest real savings you get from going to the VDI environment. But we downplay that in respect to the savings from upgrading PCs and upgrading laptops, just because those are very hard physical savings that finance people can very quickly understand and grasp, and they may not be as open to the benefits of saving IT staff time, or they may not give as much credit to those savings anyway in terms of making the financial decision.
And can you just sort of talk briefly about what you mean by IT staff timing savings? It's I'm guessing this is primarily talking about the fact that you require less people to manage the same infrastructure as before. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. Where if you have a 1,000 PCs out there, you know, you might need a significant staff of IT people, help desk people, PC support technicians to go out and maintain those 1,000 PCs. Once you turn them into virtual machines and they're all running in the data center, you know, running ThinApp for doing application virtualization and updates and management, you're typically able to dramatically reduce the amount of headcount required to maintain your PC environment. And by the way, another potential cost element that I didn't mention yet is power savings, and that's becoming a bigger and bigger factor out there. Once organizations virtualize, they now have the option of moving to thin client terminals or even new zero client terminals from organizations such as PandaLogic that have, use 4 or 5 watts only compared to maybe 70 or 80 for a PC. So the power savings also can be significant.
So are you seeing a lot of our customers first move to VDI and then go thin client, or do you think they go together? I mean, what are you seeing in terms of what the customers want, and, especially as it relates to ROI?
Well, when we talk to our clients anyway, we're always kind of looking at the big picture. So we're talking about every aspect of a virtual desktop environment, including what they're going to be running for the desktop itself. So, organizations that already have PCs and they're happy with them and they're in good repair, many times we won't replace those. We'll lock them down and make them look or act like Windows terminals or thin client terminals or zero client terminals. But for organizations that are adding new users or they're at a refresh cycle with their PCs, in that case, we will give them options for moving to thin client or zero client devices.
Okay. So sort of changing topics a bit, can you sort of walk me through the process that you used for a customer in terms of convincing them that ROI was the right convincing them that VDI was the right way to go using ROI? I mean, just if you can talk about a customer that you were able to convince to go down the VDI route or the VMware VDI route recently, it'll be awesome. Just walk us through the process that you went through while working with the customer.
Sure. Well, starting with the CapEx example that I mentioned earlier in response to your question, of course, that was very easy. I was prepared to jump in and do an ROI analysis, and when we discovered that up front, they would save money by putting their 2,800 new users on VDI rather than on PCs, that was a very easy sale. But typically, we're not in that stage of the refresh cycle. So what we'll do is we'll gather all the different information I talked about earlier, and we'll simply prepare an analysis. The analysis will show two different scenarios. One scenario is maintaining their physical PC architecture and showing over a period of time that's relevant to the client, maybe 3, 4, or 5 years, what mm-hmm. their ongoing cost will be for staying in that PC-based architecture. The other scenario will show their ongoing cost over the same period of time from running a VDI architecture. And so the difference in cost between those two scenarios means that equates to their savings by moving to VDI. And we know what the upfront investment cost is for going to a VDI architecture. So simply by dividing that savings over the investment, we now have our return on investment. And we can overlay that with variables such as the customer's internal cost of capital and so on to help them fit it with their typical financial projections to make a economically oriented decision about whether to move to the VDI environment or not. And of course, as mentioned, we focus on the hard costs, but we do also quantify the soft costs wherever we can. And then we also discuss other variables that really are more intangible, that can't be quantified. Things like we will look at the organization objectives, for instance. A common one you'll find is something equivalent to employee empowerment. Well, by taking a physical desktop and making it a virtual machine that'll follow an employee around wherever she goes, you're really empowering the employee to be more effective and more productive in her job. Another common objective may not be written down as a company vision objective, but that's certainly high on the priority of most IT managers, is disaster recovery. In a physical architecture, PCs can be a real detriment to that. I think the most prominent example probably is the World Trade Center bombing in New York during 9/11. During that time period, there were several large financial institutions in New York who were able to put the millions of dollars required to have a physical data center failover that would actually work. But what they didn't count on was hundreds of thousands of employees being evacuated from Manhattan for 3 weeks. So these employees couldn't get to their PCs that had the client-server software configurations required for them to access the failed data center. In some cases, their PCs even had local data on them that, of course, they couldn't get to. So the net result was that these organizations that spent millions of dollars developing these data center failover DR plans were rendered useless. By moving to a virtual desktop environment, the virtual desktop, of course, follows employees around wherever they go. In the event of a disaster where they can't get to their headquarters, they can go home, they can go to another office, they can go to an internet cafe, they can even go to an airport kiosk. Wherever they can get to a browser, they can log on and now get their desktop and their applications and their data and be in business. And as we continue to see potential disasters and catastrophes out there, such as Hurricane Gustav is the most recent example, all that, I think, is even more incentive for organizations to take a very hard look at the VDI architecture as a solution that goes beyond the straight ROI justification.
So what are some of the typical verticals that you're seeing which are sort of aggressively adopting VDI? I mean, do you see some pattern in terms of which verticals, which use cases?
We're seeing the most aggressive adoption in the financial sector, which tends to be early adopters anyway for these types of technologies because they understand the economics involved and understand return on investment and, the importance of ongoing savings that, they don't have to see it all on the first day of making the investment. And also, of course, the criticality for which they need to get to their computer systems. So we're seeing a heavy adoption in the financial sector and in the healthcare sector, but really every vertical. I would say every single vertical from education to government to retail to manufacturing, we're seeing a strong interest in VDI.
So is it the same sort of criteria, the same reason that financial services companies, healthcare companies, and the government and the education verticals, is it the same reasons why they're trying to go towards VDI, or is it completely different pain points and hence reasons that they're going towards VDI?
I think the pain points are really the same for across all industries. I mean, they're certainly different industries that are going to have different levels of pain in different areas and maybe more regulatory compliance type issues and so on than someone else. And, that's yet another driver, by the way, of VDI is enhanced regulatory compliance. But I think they're pretty much the same everywhere, just the expense of deploying, upgrading, managing, supporting PCs, and the other concerns that go along with them, security, disaster recovery, regulatory compliance, productivity.
Okay, that makes sense. So, that's great. So in terms of, now that we've talked a lot about ROI and what are some of the metrics that are being used when quantifying the success of a VDI deployment, what are the other things you think customers should look out for or partners should look out for when they're evaluating the implementation process itself? Or what are the steps that you would recommend customers and partners keep in mind when they're deploying or implementing a VDI solution?
So a VDI solution is very different than a virtual server solution. And the reason why is because when you virtualize a data center, it doesn't impact the users, other than in the sense that they may get increased performance. They certainly have increased higher availability, and they have better disaster recovery preparedness. But all of these things happen behind the scenes. A properly implemented VMware virtual infrastructure should have zero impact on the lives of the employees. In a VDI solution, that's not going to be the case. Users are very vocal. IT managers and CIOs are certainly very aware of the user community, and typically a big part of their job is to keep users very happy and very productive. So So a VDI deployment must be, in our opinion, performed much more carefully. The ROI itself, we feel it's important to get different departments involved, not just finance, but human resources and different elements of management and different representatives of the user community, so that the organization as a whole understands and embraces the concept, so that finance has given their blessings to the numbers, so that when the ROI is presented to the executive committee, finance will validate that those numbers are real. When actually deploying the implementation, it's very important that it be done with the idea of socialization and politics in mind. We've discovered over the years that left to their own devices, IT people will typically select members of a proof of concept, for instance, based upon one of two criteria, either that selecting people that would need a new PC anyway, or potentially selecting a user who's really difficult. You know, Bob doesn't like anything. You know, if we can make him happy, we can make anybody happy. We found that that's not the best, typically the best criteria to use in constructing an effective proof of concept. We look for users that are a little bit more adventuresome, that are friendly to the concept, open to the concept of a virtual desktop environment, so they're working with us as we work out their issues, so that after putting in the VDI proof of concept, they're excited about it, then they create a buzz that starts spreading around the organization. The worst thing that can happen is to for a user to walk in and see a thin client or zero client terminal on her desk and has no idea about what's happening. She goes to work and she can't find her Staples cookie shortcut. She can't locate some of her files. She gets unhappy, or maybe she can't print. And then this negative vibe goes throughout the organization very quickly and very, very difficult to overcome. So we like to use the proof of concept as, our beachhead for establishing an extremely positive buzz around the organization. We then expand that proof of concept to a pilot where, again, we use carefully selected users to represent a cross-section of people from the different areas of the company, whether that's IT or developers or marketing, et cetera. And from there, we expand out to a beta and then finally to a full production rollout, carefully managing every phase of the project, not just for the technical issues, but for the social environment as well, and being sure we educate the users and managers very carefully as we go along.
And typically, is your company involved in pretty much all the different phases, or how does the overall process or the engagement work with the customer?
Well, I think if we're successful in doing our job up front, we tend to be involved in all the different phases, just because the potential savings, both quantified and intangible, are so huge from moving to a VDI environment that it just makes sense to do it right and to try not to cut corners. And one of my definitions of doing it right is to use experienced consultants who have done it before many times. And so I said if we've done our job and been able to show organizations the value they're getting from moving to VDI, hopefully we've also shown them the benefit of working with our teams on essentially every phase of the implementation.
Perfect. Well, that's a pretty good definition of trying to do something right. Anything else that you would like to add, Steve?
I think the only other thing would be to, again, emphasize that how great it is that VMware has now opened the minds of organizations across the country to the concept of a virtual desktop. I think there's something like 610 million PCs out there all taking up power, all filling up landfills as they get disposed of, and using IT staff's time and even users' time unproductively, sorting through all the issues I mentioned that have to associate with PCs. So I think it's just great that now VDI is taking such a stronghold, and look forward to I think it's inevitable that the virtual desktop is going to become the standard in corporate America.
Are you saying that VDI will take over 610 million desktops?
may not be all 610 million, but I think it'll be the majority.
So actually, it does bring me to the last question, which is, what do you think the future holds for VDI and specifically VMware VDI?
I think the future looks very bright. Again,
that was a short answer.
We're at the beginning of the era, of the VMware era, but I know VMware is working very hard to bring still further enhancements, both on the server side and on the desktop side, that are going to make an already great technology, even that much more compelling. Once a PC is virtual, there's just a lot more you can do with it in terms of security and management and scalability and reliability than you can ever hope to do with the physical equivalent.
Again, thanks a lot for taking part in this VMware VDI podcast series.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Raj.
And this is your host, Raj Mohanty, signing off.
For more information, be sure to check out www.vmware.com/go/desktop, where we have a host of sizing and scaling white papers, deployment guides, total cost of ownership calculators, and, of course, evaluation software.